Do you have to throw on your favorite true crime podcast before bed in order to fall asleep? Same. And it's the very reason that I created Serial Napper. My name is Nikki Young, and I'm here to lull you to sleep or perhaps to give you nightmares with some of the craziest true crime stories that you've never heard of. Each episode of Serial Napper features a different true crime story told succinctly the way that it happened. Just the facts, ma'am. My focus is on unsolved crimes that need more attention, cold cases, and wrongful convictions. While true crime shows can sometimes be graphic in nature, I ensure that the story is told in a way that is respectful to the victims and their families. Now, when it's time for bed, you can look forward to 30 minutes of well-researched and detailed case files while you get your beauty sleep. Find Serial Napper on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Sweet dreams.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in.
Today's episode, we have Volume 1 of Crime and Peter Chambers, a character that was created by Henry Kane and was the star of many novels and a radio series that ran for one season in 1954. Unlike many other detective radio shows, what stood out about this one was this detective worked with the police department, as opposed to being a thorn in their side. He was also very expensive, at a rate of $500 a day. With inflation, I wonder what that is in today's dollars. As always, please check out the archives for more shows. Check out the descriptions for show links. And if you enjoy this podcast, please follow, review if you can, and give it a rating. Those are all free things to do, and it really helps out. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
Crime and Peter Chambers. Created by Henry Kane, transcribed and starring Dane Clark. A private investigator, duly licensed and duly sworn, Peter Chambers. You're a private eye. That's your business. Anything else? That's for laughs. You've got a slant of sun coming in the office window, your feet are on the desk, and you're relaxed. Business is lousy, but you've got no kicks. You're young, you're strong, you've got a few bucks in the bank. And it's a beautiful day.
You, Peter Chambers?
All of me, lady. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Not for you. Not for long, anyway.
She's a cute little trick, but nervous as a puppy with fleas. She's wearing a tan suit, molded to her figure, and properly protruding. The rest is in perfect taste. Black nylons, black shoes, black blouse, and black gloves. So she spoils it. She dips into her bag, and what she produces doesn't quite go with the ensemble. Because now she's wearing a pearl-handled gun in her right fist. Looks like a .38, and is pointing directly at you. So you scrape back out of your chair, and you go to her.
Stand back. Stand back, I tell you.
Honey, you're not even holding the gun right.
I know what I'm doing. Keep away from me.
Well, you're shaking like you're practicing to be a cooch dancer. Now relax, little lady.
Keep away, please, please.
No. Okay, now. I've got the gun, and you're still shaking. Now sit down, lady. What's your name?
Elsa Corey.
What do you do?
Do?
For a living. A gun ma, you ain't.
I'm an actress.
Working?
Yes.
Well, come on, sister. This is like pulling teeth. Let's have it all in one lump.
I have the second lead in The Lady Dances. It's in rehearsal. It's my first real job. It's produced by Jack Burke. He hired me. Anything else?
Where do you live?
1013 East 39th Street, 2B. Oh, please. Please don't point that gun at
It's your gun, remember? Okay. I drop it in my jacket pocket like so. See? No more gun. Now, what's this jiggle all about?
Jiggle?
Look, it's a beautiful day. I'm sitting around with my feet on the desk dreaming my own personal little dream. So a dame drops in, wriggling around a Roscoe, and the Roscoe is blinking its eye at me, so I got a right to ask. What's it all about?
Well, I can't.
Oh, that's coherent. Now, let's do it incoherent this time.
I came here to kill you.
Hmm? Why?
I was sent.
By whom?
Bruce Burke.
Bruce Burke, huh? Well, it's all in the family. Jack Burke, Bruce Burke, two lonely brothers. Well, I never met your producer, but Bruce. Brucey boy, I know.
I'm sorry. I'm dreadfully sorry. Believe me, I don't think I could have. I couldn't. I know I couldn't.
All right, Elsa. Elsa Corey, simmer down. Just make yourself at home. I'll be back.
Where are you going?
To pay a call on Brucey boy. Maybe he can fill me in where you can't. And don't go away, baby. Papa will be back. Bruce Burke. A crumb right out of the bread box. A bum with a couple of million bucks. A sharpshooter that owns a nightclub called The Flame. You put the light out on The Flame about a year ago, hooked him for watering his stock. So, it's a beautiful day, only for you, suddenly, it's beginning to shape up cloudy. You get to his Park Avenue address, stick your finger on the buzzer. Nobody's home. Well, you've been there before, a 12-room suite for Brucey and his missus. Plus, she's got an apartment on the side. And just for kicks, you try the knob, and very conveniently, the door's not locked. You're inside, but you don't go far. Bruce Burke is napping, face down. Only when you go to turn him over, Brucey boy's napping days are finished. A guy stiff as a bugle, two bullet holes in his face, and his rigid leer is like a spiteful grin. And suddenly you feel it. Call it extra sensory perception. You know you've been yanked into a deal that you ought to get out of. Fast. You do a beeline for the door, you pull it open, and you're face to face with Detective Lieutenant Louis Parker, New York City Police, homicide.
Hi, Pete. Fancy is the same meeting you here.
Hi, Lieutenant. Same fancy goes for me. What brings you?
Jingle on the phone, what they call anonymous.
Oh, I see. Well, come in.
Thanks for the welcome, Shamus. Hey, what do we got here?
Corpse. Body used to belong to Bruce Burke. Plus.
Plus what, kid?
Plus, I've got a hunch, a little frame job with me in the middle. Yeah, take a look at this. A little encumbrance I'm carrying in my pocket.
I handle it, you notice, by the muzzle. Pearl handle 38 revolver. Okay, what scoop?
Break it, Lieutenant. I've a vague notion you're going to find two shells discharged. I also have a notion that ballistics will show that the two bullets in this monkey came out of the gun you're holding.
Two hunks of lead missing.
Figures. And my fingerprints on the handle. And my fingerprints on the doorknob. And me and Bruce Burke supposed to have a feud going.
I hope you got a good story for me, kid. We've been friends a long time.
And a little dame wearing gloves. I'll bet mine are the only fingerprints on that Roscoe.
Better be a good story, kiddo.
Salulu, Lieutenant. Lend an ear. You tell him the tale and he listens. Louis's an old friend. You've worked together for years. He promises a thorough check on the situation and you promise to be down to see him to check the check. You leave him the pearl-handled pistol and you leg it to the next spot that might furnish a little information. The Lady Dances is rehearsing at the Ascot on 48th off Broadway. Backstage, there's one solitary guy working a song on a piano.
Well, what do you want, Bub?
Looking for Jack Burke.
I'm Jack Burke.
Stands up from the piano, very fashionable type. White hair, slender figure, $200 suit.
Well, what is it, young man? What do you want here?
I thought there was a rehearsal going on.
It's off for a while.
Oh, may I ask
you? No, you may not ask. What do you want here?
Oh, name's Peter Chambers. I'm a private detective. I'd like to inquire about a young lady. and Miss Elsa Corey.
I'm not messing into the affairs of every private shummus that comes barging backstage for some cockeyed reason of his own.
Look, Mr. Burke, if
I haven't got the time.
Now, just one little minute, Mr. Burke.
Oh, like that, is it? You want to play tough boy, huh? Willie!
A muscle-bound monster comes ambling out of the wings. The guy's 6'4" and practically as wide as he's long. Willie's got a face that's half moron, half pig. And the part of the pig is dangling in a couple of ham-like hands. But you're not worried about Willie. You've got a large ego and a lot of confidence. And you think you can take Willie if you had the time. But right now, you don't have the time. So you turn from Willie to get back to Jack Burke. But you've underestimated Willie. Willie's not as amiable as he looks. You get a hit in the head like a stroke of paralysis. And the lights blaze and start whirling. And then there are no more lights. There's blackness, whirling, spinning, black, blackness. You open your eyes and you're sitting on a sidewalk, sprawled like a drunk that forgot how to stop. You're backed against the stage door, but it's locked. You've got a bill to collect with a joker named Willie and a larger bill with his boss, Jack Burke, but you can't now. Thoughts joggle in your mind, and then you know where you're going. Loretta Burke is the wife of Bruce Burke, and she's got a lush little cave of her own on Central Park South. You head for it, thinking about her. Loretta Burke, who managed a nightclub called The Flame. You head for her diggings, and then you're there.
Hello, Mrs. Chambers. To what do I owe the pleasure?
A lush blonde, 30 years younger than Bruce. A page boy blonde with shining hair and shining green eyes. And a figure that brings you to a full stop. Loretta Burke in silver lounging pajamas.
Always nice to see you, Mr. Chambers. May I offer a drink?
You may. I can use it.
Here you are, Mr. Chambers.
Thank you.
Well, you're not yourself today, are you? Gulping your drink.
Well, for a very recent widow, Mrs. Burke, you're certainly bearing up staunchly.
I didn't know that you knew.
Well, let's do a reverse on that, sweetie. I didn't know for sure that you knew.
Look, tough boy, I don't believe in mourning. I don't wear my heart on my sleeve.
No, what do you wear it?
Inside, where it belongs. I'm a gal with a lousy reputation, but in my own peculiar way, I loved him.
Maybe you did in your own peculiar way.
Well, let's put it this way. Whoever killed him, sooner or later, is going to face up to me. Now, you got any comment, Mr. Chambers?
I don't know. This started off as such a beautiful day, and me sitting around thinking about how business is lousy.
Maybe you ought to get out of here and see if you can't stimulate a little.
Gentle hint, Mrs. Burke?
I've got a lot of things to do.
I get it. Well, one question before I leave. You know a little dame by name of Elsa Corey?
Never heard of her.
Bye now. See you around.
You bet you will.
Outside, you call the office about Elsa Corey, but of course our little birdie has jumped the chicken coop. You do a small debate with yourself. Corey or Parker, which one first? But you promise the lieutenant, so you mosey for police headquarters downtown. You're jogging up the steps when you see him coming out in a hurry.
Well, the private eye, or is it the public enemy? You coming to give yourself up?
Lieutenant is jocular, but he looks worried, and when a friend looks worried, you'll begin to worry.
That was the murder gun, Pete, no question. I'm working it slow, working the angles first, because you're involved. But that little Elsa Corey better be around to back up your story.
Hmm. Well, what else is new, Lieutenant?
Jack Burke's been scouting for dough for a show. He needs money. Bruce's wife, that doll, always needed dough. Well, they're both falling into it.
How?
Bruce Burke's will. Jack gets half the estate, Loretta Burke gets the other half, plus the nightclub goes to her.
Real cozy, huh?
Now look, pal, you're not one for throwing stones. Not in this case. So far, all I've really got is you.
Yeah. Me. You've been a doll, Lieutenant, a living, breathing doll.
Well, don't depend on it, Pete, not for too long. I know you, but As a DA, he's beginning to champ at the bit, so let me go to work now, huh?
Where are you heading for?
Date with Jack Burke.
Jack Burke? Where?
Casa Moretti, upstairs, private room, number 4.
Look, Louie, one more favor. Hmm? Give me a 10-minute head start, huh?
Head start with whom?
Jack Burke. I've got a bill to collect, and it's overdue. 10 minutes, Lieutenant? Oh, please, Louie.
Okay, but I hope you know what you're doing.
Oh, I hope so, too. The Casa Moretti is in Greenwich Village, and it serves the longest, skinniest, most flavorsome spaghetti west of a little town called Rome, which they tell me is in Italy. Casa Moretti has a downstairs dining room and an upstairs private room where you can run yourself a tete-a-tete or a banquet, depending on your mood. Your mood right now is for a little private chatter, and you rub your knuckles against the door marked 4.
What? You again? Now, look here.
First, you clip him because you owe it to him.
No!
Then you close the door. Then you drag him into the room. And you give him a quick frisk, but there isn't a thing on him that's incriminating. So now you pick him up and deposit him in a chair. And you slap him back to consciousness.
What? What?
Live it up, Mr. Burke. Well, listen to the birdie sing.
I'm listening. And you're no birdie. What do you want?
A bit of polite conversation, nothing more.
Well, what do you want?
Johnny One Note, that's me. Little lady by name Elsa Corey. Know her?
Yes, she's the second lead in the show we're rehearsing.
Know her any better than that?
She's an actress in my show, period.
Have it your way. According to her, she says your brother sent her to see me. Did you introduce her to your brother?
No.
You happen to know if your brother was acquainted with her?
My brother is dead.
I know that.
And from what I hear, you, a private eye by the name of Chambers, you hated his guts.
I'm supposed to know all about that, too.
All right. Is there anything else?
No. I told you all I wanted was a bit of polite conversation.
Well, then get out of here.
Say it nice.
Will you please leave, Mr. Chambers?
Oh, a pleasure, Mr. Burke. A pleasure indeed. There's one stop left. You've done the merry-go-round. You've gone the full circle. Elsa Corey said 1013 East 39th Street. Turns out to be a tinderbox. Ramshackle is an ancient barn on a prairie. Young actresses don't have it too easy, and that is a problem. You climb up to 2B and you knock on a door that's thinner than Melba toast and has about as much resistance. Nobody answers. You turn to leave and all of a sudden, a hunch comes up and clobbers you. You shove a shoulder at the rattletrap door and you lean hard. You're inside now. Little room with the barest of trimmings. And your hunch has paid off because you're not alone. Elsa Corey sits in a chair and looks at you, but her eyes aren't blinking. Elsa Corey. Her face mottled and blue bruises on her throat. Elsa Corey strangled to death. So, it's still a beautiful day. Only it's not day anymore. It's nighttime. You've gone home and you've put in a little afternoon sleeping, but it hasn't helped. You're weighed down deep in a jam and you feel it beginning to close in.
How goes it, Pete, boy?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, bad.
Detective Lieutenant Louis Parker, a nice guy and a good friend, but the expression on his face is that of a pallbearer with rheumatism doing his job on a rainy day.
Ain't good, pal. Stinks, in fact.
Yep.
Elsa Corey, she's dead.
Yeah.
We got another one of them phone calls. Anonymous.
I can clear that for you.
Like how?
I made that phone call.
You did?
Yep. I busted into her place and I found her. Like what you found when you got there.
You know what it means, kid.
I got an idea.
You had one little out, an alibi witness named Elsa Corey. Now she ain't with us no more. Where's that leave you?
Crouched behind the eight ball, only keeps getting smaller.
Pete, you know how I feel about you, but Want to come downtown with me now, fella, and tussle it out with the DA's people?
Well, must we...
What's left, kid?
Well, I've got a little night duty to attend to. I've been sort of resting up for it.
Night duty?
Yeah, now look. Let's make a date, Louis. I either collect a killer for you or I present myself.
Present yourself when?
Let's say tomorrow morning, bright and early tomorrow morning. You either get a closed case by then or you've got me.
You know, I only work for a living, Pete. I can get kicked off the force fast.
I never crossed you up, Louis, ever. It's been a long time now, you and me. It's one for the storybooks. A private eye and a public cop who can work together and who respect each other. We got a deal.
Deal it is, yeah.
Bye, Lieutenant.
Bye, Detective.
The Flame is a nightclub on the outskirts of town, and that's your next stop. And the last stop, you figure, one way or another. You get the car out of the garage, you drive up and park in their parking lot. The club is a distance off, and you crunch through gravel on your way. You see a uniformed cop a distance off, but you don't see what's right close near you.
Easy does it, mister.
Well, if it ain't little Willie.
That's me, pal.
Willie's loaded with artillery and is jammed to your ribs.
Back up to that shed, mister. Double time we do it.
But you're not having any. You're not turning your back on Willie. You did that once, and once is enough. So the left comes down on the gun, and the right goes to the chin. And down goes Willie with me on top of him. The gun gets kicked out of the way, and Willie absorbs a few additional raps, and then my hands are around his throat.
You're choking me.
That's the general idea, Willie.
Let up, mister. Let up.
New position, Willie. Now I'm sitting across you like you're a hassock, and my fingers are still around that bull neck of yours. And you're a little weaker, Willie. You're quite a little weaker. Talk, Willie.
What do you want to know?
Why did you conk me backstage at the Ascot?
I got the signal from Jack.
You work for him?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're in rhythm now. Why did you cloak Bruce Burke?
I didn't.
Oh, you need a little more pressure on your throat. Is that it?
No, I had nothing to do with Bruce.
Okay. Elsa Corey. Talk it up good now, Willie. Well, okay.
I went there. 39th Street. Jack sent me. I did a job on her like Jack told me to do.
Willie passes out of the picture. You get up off him, collect his gun, and go looking for the cop, and latch law onto Willie with instructions to deposit him in the lap of Detective Lieutenant Louis Parker. Then you brush at your clothes and you make for the nightclub. The joint is jumping and it's temptation, but you haven't got the time. You steer through the joyous people to the door marked Office of the Manager, and you open it without knocking.
Well, Peter Chambers, we were just talking about you. Close the door.
The other half of that we is Jack Burke. He's in a tuxedo. And Loretta is in a red off-the-shoulder job that almost gets your mind off your work. But the old mind comes right back to attention because dear Loretta shoves a lily white hand to the desk drawer and it comes up caressing an ugly .45.
Sit down, Mr. Tim.
Oh, thanks. I'll stand.
Jack and I have been chatting about you.
In what connection?
In connection with the death of my husband.
Lady, you're pointing that gun in the wrong direction.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Jack Burke, who dreamed himself up a foolproof little murder. Only I'm going to take it apart for him right now.
This had better be good.
Listen, this guy is in a jam with his show. He's looking for money all over town. Do you know whether he asked Bruce for a loan?
Yes, I know he did. And Bruce turned him down. Bruce had no confidence in the lady dancers.
So Bright Boy figured one out. If he bumps Bruce, he gets half of his estate. Even if he can't get the loot right away, he can borrow on the strength of it. So he kills him.
He's a liar.
He knows a little dame, second lead, Elsa Corey. This kid doesn't know which end is up. So he gives her the cleaned-up gun, and she's wearing gloves, so it's still clean.
What is she supposed to do with it?
She's supposed to come to me because Jack thinks there's bad blood between me and Bruce. She's to threaten me, not shoot me.
No, no, nothing like that. And she's to tell me that Bruce sent her.
Bruce? Why Bruce?
Because this guy figured it exactly as it happened.
Oh.
I took the gun away from her. I went to Bruce to find out what it was all about. The door was conveniently left open for me, and I found Bruce like this bum had left him. And then a cop shows, spurred by an anonymous phone tip. Cute, huh?
Cute enough. Where's the girl? That Elsie Corey?
Yes, where is she?
Look at him wiggle. The big producer. Where is she? She's dead.
What?
He wasn't going to let her hang around to testify against him, was he? Did you ever hear of Willie?
Of course.
Willie choked her to death.
Proof, not words.
The law's
proof.
Caught up with Willie. He's yodeling out there like a broken-down jukebox.
Well, that's proof against Willie, not proof against me.
Look at him, squirming like a rat with his tail in a trap. Look at him. How much more proof do you want?
The lady looks. Guilt is scribbled on him like the devil has written on his forehead. She lifts the gun, and for a minute you think it's for you. But it isn't. There isn't much left to look at when you get to him. And all of it is very dead.
All right. It's over, and it's done with.
Mind if I sit down for just a couple of minutes?
Sit.
It was a beautiful day before it shaped up cloudy.
What are you talking about?
Then a dame comes in and threatens me with a gun, and I get myself jammed up with the law as a murder suspect, and I get pushed around by an ape named Willie, and then I almost catch up at the wrong end of your 45, but it's finally developed into business.
Business? From whom?
You.
Me?
Next stop for you is the pokey. Maybe with a good lawyer, who knows, it turns out justifiable homicide.
That's business for a lawyer, not for you.
True enough, but a lawyer's got to have facts. Now, who's better at getting up facts for you than yours truly?
I'm beginning to see what you mean. How much?
Well, for a lady who's coming into a million plus a swanky nightclub, how's $5,000?
You talked yourself into a client, Mr. Chambers. You're hired.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks a bunch.
And there you've had Crime and Peter Chambers. Dane Clark was starred as Peter Chambers. Crime and Peter Chambers, transcribed, was created, produced, and written by Henry Kane. Others in the cast were Bill Zuckert, heard as Lieutenant Parker, Fran Carlin as Loretta, and Everett Sloan as Jack. It was directed by Fred Way, and this is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next week, same time, same station, for Dane Clark in Crime and Peter Chambers.
Visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Crime and Peter Chambers. Created by Henry Kane, transcribed and starring Dane Clark. A private investigator, duly licensed and duly sworn, Peter Chambers.
You're a private eye. That's your business. Anything else? That's for laughs. The guy on the customer's end of your office desk, no laughs here. This one is strictly business. He's a round little man, balding on top, pudgy in the middle. He's got eyes like a vulture and a cranky voice.
Mr. Chambers, you've been highly recommended to me. You're supposed to be number one in your racket.
He chuckles with a phony heartiness, and the eyes crinkle up, vulture's eyes, with an extra set of bags under them. The upper set are dark bulbous circles from lack of sleep. The lower set are worry bags, purple and networked with wrinkles.
I'm out on a writ of habeas corpus, Mr. Chambers.
Yeah, and on a murder rap.
They haven't got a thing
now,
on
me. Just a minute, pal. Let's get some of our facts ironed out. Your name is Charles Avon.
Uh-huh.
You're a druggist here in New York.
Right.
You're married, and you've got no kids.
Correct. Wife's name is Nancy. Lives 1688 Gramercy Park North.
All right, now let's get to the meaty part. You're accused of the murder of one Alan Lewis.
Yeah.
Used to be a clerk in your drugstore.
That's right.
Police claim you killed him Monday, which is yesterday,
mm-hmm.
yesterday evening, mm-hmm. at his Park Avenue Park Avenue.
Yeah, so they claim.
Well, did you kill him, Mr. Avon?
Absolutely not. Mm.
And my job?
Is to find out who did kill him, so that I don't have to carry that burden around, too.
What's the other burden, Mr. Avon?
Well, there are two sides to every question in my business. I don't.
All right, we'll skip that temporarily. Now, let's see. The cops hauled you in for the murder of your clerk.
Ex-clerk. He hadn't been working for me for a year. Living off the fat of the land.
Why'd they pick on you, Mr. Avon?
Because I was supposed to be there last night at 8 o'clock. That's when it happened to him. And also, I'm supposed to have a motive for his murder.
Well, did you have a motive?
Well, if a guy's been blackmailing you for a year...
What do you have on you, Mr. Avon?
Well, now, I don't know that I...
Ma, let's have it.
Well, narcotics.
Narcotics?
We had a deal going, sort of, with narcotics. The lawyer knows all about it.
I want to know.
Well, I was looking for easy money, and I'm doing all right. This Alan Lewis, he learns about it. He was working for me, you understand, and he starts holding me up.
And so last night, when he's murdered...
I came there to talk with him, but he wasn't home. That's all, he wasn't home. Then last night, the police picked me up, and I don't even know what they're talking about.
Who's your lawyer?
Richard Evans, Dick Evans. Oh. You know him?
Yeah, I know Dick.
Mr. Chambers, you've got to help me out of this jam.
Not the narcotics, pal.
No, the murder.
And it'll cost you 5,000 simoleons.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Cash on the barrel head. I don't trust guys like you.
Okay, but I don't have it on me. If you'll accompany me to the bank,
I can't say I admire my choice of companion.
You're an insulting
Let's
one
go,
on
Mr.
You.
Avon. We'll discuss it on the way. You get to the bank and you're paid, and you kiss him off like you'd kiss off a king cobra that just became a client. But if the guy's not guilty of murder, it's your job to prove it. That's what you're being paid for. So you get rid of him, and you go downtown to the offices of B. Richard Evans, Regal Legal Eagle. Hi, honey. Mr. Evans in?
All right, Pete. Come on. I've been expecting you.
Hi, Dick. How are things going?
Fine, Petey. Come right on in.
Okay. Dick Evans, boy lawyer. Black hair, beak nose, and cyclone cellar voice. A two-tone personality split at 5 o'clock. Tricky as a slippery bath mat before the deadline, but afterward, wide open and roaring. A wielder of martinis, like a good farmer with a pitchfork.
What brings you, Mr. Detective?
Charles Avon, Dick. How easy was it getting him out on that writ?
Easier than getting stepped on the subway.
Because why, Counselor?
Because the prosecution doesn't have a thing on him.
Well, I got motive.
Motive isn't murder, Mr. Chambers.
Well, how'd that guy get it, that Alan Lewis?
Two bullets. One ripped through his right shoulder, rather unimportant. The second one pasted in over his right eye. Very important.
Prosecution got the gun?
No, sir, they don't. All they got is motive, period. They gave him a 9-hour grilling, and all they could come up with was motive.
Okay. Now, what about the other charge?
What other charge?
The narcotics.
Well, I'm going to plead him guilty on that. He ought to get a light sentence because without Alan Lewis, they've hardly got a case.
Well, here comes motive again for the death of Alan Lewis.
Well, the police know all about that. How much good has it done them?
By the way, how do they know? Who told them?
Frankie Tokers.
Frankie Tokers. Male or female?
Female, but good and female. You're going to like that when you come to it.
I like it already, just from looking at your face.
Have another slice of motive, Mr. Chambers. This one's on Frankie. She was engaged to Alan Lewis.
That's motive?
Not yet, it's not, but this is. She's the beneficiary on his insurance policy for $30,000. Plus, she's the one who informed the police that the Lewis boy was putting the touch on Avon for the blackmail.
Well, how'd she know?
Her boyfriend confided in her.
Oh. Well, how'd she stand suspect-wise?
Oh, she's got an alibi, don't they all?
Frankie Togan.
A very gorgeous number. He sings at the Rumpus Room with an equally gorgeous blonde partner with whom you will kindly have no truck.
Why?
Because that one is sort of reserved for me.
Do you have this Frankie Toker's phone number, Dick?
Got it written down somewhere. Name, address, and phone number. Ah, here you are.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cute little trick. That's Frankie. Six.
Miss Tokers?
This is Miss Tokers.
Collins from the insurance company. There's been a slight complication. May I come to see you?
Well, when?
Oh, right away. The sooner the better.
Well, all right, if you insist. I should be here most of the afternoon.
Ah, good. I'll see you shortly, then. Bye, Miss Tokers. So you leave the lawyer and you go visit the lady. This is supposed to be the part the private eye enjoys, but don't make book on that. Because most of the dear ladies turn out to look like bats on a vacation from the Belfry. This one happily doesn't. Miss Tokers?
Yes, I'm Miss Tokers.
Mr. Collins from the insurance company.
Oh, yes. Please come in.
Frankie Tokers. She's wearing a hostess gown, a metallic number in gold. Imagine that wrapped around a dream-bunched figure. Frankie Tokers. Tall, with an oval face and wide, dark eyes that glint like brandy bottles under bar lights. You don't fool around with a kid like that.
Mr. Collins?
I'm sorry. My name's not Collins, Miss Tokers, and I'm not from the insurance company. My name's Chambers, Peter Chambers. I'm a private detective. And they tell me that you're on a spot.
Get out.
Now, just a minute.
Get out. Get out, I tell you.
Look, lady. I think you've got me pegged wrong.
Please. Oh, please.
You explain the situation, and tears come up in the blackberry brandy eyes. Naturally, you put your arm around her, and just as naturally, she puts her head on your shoulder. A sobbing brunette close in the arms of the private detective. There you have the classic situation. But you've been paid $5,000 to find out who killed Cock Robbins, so reluctantly you break it up. No. I know how you feel, Miss Tokers. You love the guy, but he's dead.
Not true.
Huh?
I hated him.
You were engaged to be married, weren't you?
That was going to end when I found out what he was really like.
And whose idea was that $30,000 life policy with you as beneficiary?
His. His, of course. But that was going to be finished, too.
Mm.
Mr. Chambers, I couldn't tell the police, but I will tell you.
Why?
Because I want you to help me.
Look, sister, you didn't kill him, did you?
Oh, no. Listen, last night, the night he was killed, I went there. I was going to tell him off and finish it off completely.
What time?
9:00. It was between shows. I'm a singer at the Rumpus Room.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, when I got there, there was no answer. I kept ringing, but there was no answer, and I was worried. I went back to the club, and I called on the phone. No answer. Then I called the police and told them that there was trouble there. I didn't say who was calling.
Oh, now, wait, but... hold up just for a minute. First, why the police, just because the guy's not home? And second, how did you know there was trouble there?
Because I knew that he had an appointment with Mr. Charles Avon for 8:00, and it was going to be a long talk. And I knew what the talk was about.
And what was it about?
About more money. More blackmail money.
Oh, I see. It figured for a trouble party, huh?
Yes.
And when the guy didn't answer at 9:00, was your idea that the trouble had exploded?
Exactly. And 1 hour after the phone call, the police were at the club, investigating the murder of Alan Lewis. I told them everything I knew about the narcotics that Mr. Avon was dealing in and about Alan's blackmail and about how he was going to raise the ante at this meeting between them.
Well, that answers why Charles Avon was picked up. What about your alibi?
I fixed that up with my singing partner. I arranged for her to say that I'd been with her all the time, in our dressing room. But I'm scared, Mr. Chambers. I'm sick scared inside of me. Help me. Please help me.
Oh, Miss Tokers, I'd hate it if you did put those slugs into Alan.
I didn't. Oh, I didn't.
She's asking for it. And you answer. You take her face in your hands, put your lips on hers, and you leave them there. With excellent results. But then you quit. You crash out of there, and you're heading for police headquarters. But you detour for Charles Avon's drugstore.
Good to see you again, Mr. Chambers.
Hi, I was thinking I might want to drop into your home tonight. Would you be there perhaps later on?
No, but my wife will. Oh, you don't know her. Oh, she's here right now. I'd very much like to have you meet her. Nancy?
Yes?
Yeah, my dear, Peter Chambers, the gentleman I told you about. My wife, Nancy Avon.
She's a small blonde, too young and too pretty for Charlie Boy. She's wearing gold-rimmed black lens goggles and you can't see her eyes. She's smooth-skinned and good-looking. But jumpy, Nervous as a lion tamer who's lost his whip.
Did you wish to speak to me, Mr. Chambers?
Very much, but I don't have the time now. May I speak with you later?
Of course, but I'm leaving for home now.
Well, may I call you there?
Well, it's a little upset. It's Maid's day off, but if you wish...
I wish. See you later. Bye, Mr. and Mrs. Avon. And so you're riding your broom again, making time for police headquarters, and then you're there.
Come in. Well, Pete, what do I owe the honor?
Charles Avon, Louis, a paid-up client.
So, maybe you think you can do more than cops can do, huh?
I doubt it, but I can try. Detective Lieutenant Louis Parker, homicide. Thick set and sturdy like a brand new refrigerator and just about as enthusiastic. But a good cop. And mostly a good friend.
What's pitch?
I'm being paid $5,000 to find out who put the chill on Alan Lewis.
Well, $5,000 to do what we'd do anyway, huh? Brother, yours is one business. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you want?
Help.
That's hot. You're getting 5 G's. What do we get?
Well, any information happens to fall my way, and no byline, you get all the credit. You buying?
What do you want, kid?
Well, I'd like to see the inside of Alan Lewis's apartment.
I'll buy that. In fact, I'll go with you.
Got a cop staked out there?
Nobody staked out there. I've got better things to do with cops than having them sitting around getting fat. Okay, what else?
Anything else that's not too terribly confidential?
Not this case, Petey. We got us a nice fat group of nothing.
Well, then that's it, Lieutenant. Let us go look at apartments. Alan Lewis's joint turns out to be the usual bachelor's flat fitted out to please the ladies. Parker snoozes in the bedroom while you poke around like a critical matron seeking dust in the upholstery. In the library, a book sticks out like a sore thumb in a working pickpocket. You pull it out and an envelope drips to the floor. You pick that up and examine it. It's slid on top and it contains a letter. It's addressed to Mrs. Nancy Avon, 1688 Gramercy Park, North, New York City. You don't stop to read the letter. You stick it in your pocket and you're ready to leave. Then Parker comes into the room yawning.
You finished, Sherlock?
All done. Let's get out of here. By the way, I assume you guys gave this place a going over.
Yeah, most of last night. Been through this apartment with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, a fine-tooth comb.
Hey, is that a crack?
No crack intended, Lieutenant. Leave us leave.
Yeah, leave us.
Outside, Parker goes off and you're left alone. Frankie Toker's place is nearby and... Well, maybe you're looking for an excuse to go back.
Hello, Mr. Chambers.
Oh, may I come in?
Please do.
You bring her up to date, you take the letter out of the envelope, and you read. Dear Nancy, finished is finished. Now you've got it in writing. I don't see the sense, but if you insist, you can come over Monday at 7:30. You can't stay long. As it happens, I have a date with Charles for 8 o'clock. Yours, Alan.
The date matches. Monday, yesterday.
The night he was killed.
That letter puts her right in the middle, doesn't it?
Say, do you know anything about these two, Nancy Avon and Alan Lewis?
She was sweet on him, and he encouraged her.
Oh?
Charlie Avon didn't even know it was cooking, but she was planning to divorce him. And then Alan Lewis cooled off.
You mean when he met you?
He'd have cooled off anyway. That's the kind of guy he was. Real loyal. Shot through with integrity.
Well, how'd she take it, you know?
He told me. She was plenty worked up over it.
Okay, Miss Tokers. Frankie. Well, you cross your fingers, and if I'm lucky, you're out of a jam.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. Would I appreciate that?
You figure your next stop for your last stop. 1688 Gramercy Park North.
Oh, Mr. Chambers. Please, come in.
Mrs. Avon. She's dressed in Chinese-type lounging pajamas, and she's not wearing the dark lens specs. You look at her eyes, and a chill goes through you like winter's suddenly gotten into the marrow of your bones. Wild eyes. Quick-moving, darting, half-mad eyes. Pupils dilated almost to the rim.
Something, Mr. Chambers?
A few questions.
Questions? Why questions of me?
Well, I've got a hunch I've stumbled on something the police don't know.
Like what?
Well, like you had a thing going with Alan Lewis. Your husband, you hope, didn't know about it.
But I...
There are letters. You saved them. Right, Mrs. Avon?
Yes.
You were there last night?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Avon. Now, where's the gun? Do you have it?
You say the police don't know. Perhaps, I mean, I have
Look,
money.
Look, I'm one of the dumb ones. I'm allergic to bribery. Now, where's the gun?
I have it. It's hidden here, hidden in the apartment.
Will you get it, please?
Yes. Yes, I'll get it. It's my own gun.
You wait while she goes for it, and you don't like it. But you haven't got the time to work it out now, because she's coming back, and she's carrying the thing. A chunky nickel-plated item. And she's holding it, business end forward. You get a scratched hip and a hole in your pants. And you're all ready to slug her, but you don't have to because she slides down in a faint. You get the gun away from her, find brandy, pour a lot into her and a little into yourself. And finally she starts coming to.
I fainted.
You certainly did, lady.
I'm ill. I'm under the care of a psychiatrist. Gunshot, the sound of gunshot. One shot and I pass out. Even if I do it myself, I pass out.
What happened last night?
Almost like it happened here. I was there before he was, and when he came, we argued. I brought the pistol. I was wearing my gloves, and I shot him. And then I fainted. When I came to, I saw he was dead, and I got out of there.
Now, just a minute. You say you were there before he was? How'd you get in?
I have keys.
You get her to an easy chair and you call down to Parker at headquarters. You put in a request for a lot of the law and also for Mr. Charles Avon. Pretty soon the place is crawling with cops and you point a finger and to Lieutenant Parker you say, I give you a murderer, Lieutenant.
But you've got it wrong. You're mistaken.
No mistake. It's just where my finger's pointing. I give you, Lieutenant, Mr. Charles Avon.
This guy's nuts.
A lot of things he is. Nuts he ain't. Go on,
no.
Pete.
Here's a guy who comes in and hires me for $5,000 for something the New York City police can do much better and for nothing.
You're stealing my lines, chump.
But the guy's not crazy. He's got a purpose. He's also got a large contempt for the thoroughness of the police, which I haven't.
Start making sense, Petey boy.
Read this. You toss a letter to Detective Lieutenant Parker, and the room is as quiet as a cemetery until he's through reading it.
So?
I found that letter from Mrs. Avon to Alan Lewis. I found it in Lewis's apartment.
Now, wait a minute. We gave that place an extra special going over. That letter wasn't there.
You don't have to convince me. Convince Charles Avon. That baby goes and sees the wrong movies. He's got no confidence in cops.
No question. The letter wasn't there.
But I found it there, so it adds up to plant. Somebody planted it there, wanted it found there. Somebody wanted to implicate Mrs. Nancy Avon.
Who?
Who had access to her mail? Huh? Friend husband, that's who.
No.
Why do you think he hired me? So I could bumble around and find a few things he wanted me to find. Like frustrated love, like that letter, like maybe a confession from Mrs. Avon, which I got.
She confessed?
Doesn't mean a thing. Let me do it chronologically, will you, Pete?
Do it any way you like, pal.
Nancy Avon goes there at 7:30 to keep her date.
Yeah.
She brings her gun because the young guy's giving her the air. She waits for him, he comes, they argue, she shoots him, and she faints. One shot.
But the guy had two bullet holes in it.
Correct. But here's how he got the second. Charles Avon's got a hate for both of them, for Alan and for Nancy. Alan's been blackmailing him, plus the wife is sweet on Alan. He's been steeping open her mail, and he knows she's going to meet him last night, so he follows. He follows, hoping against hope for action, and action happens.
And then?
He gets in there, he sees Alan bleeding from the shoulder wound, and the wife in a faint on the floor. He picks up the gun, finishes off Alan, wipes the prints off, puts it back in her hand, and vamooses. She comes to, sees a dead Alan, and she gets out convinced that she killed him.
And then we pick up Charlie on the strength of Miss Toker's story, but the lawyer gets him sprung on a writ.
Right. So this morning, he goes to Lewis's apartment, and he sticks that letter where it can't be missed.
No, I...
Real contempt he has for the efficiency of cops, hasn't he? Anyway, he hires me so I can clean up some loose ends and lay the whole deal in the lady's lap. The minute I saw that letter, I knew it was a plant. It happens that I've got respect for cops. They'd never miss that kind of evidence.
One great big catch.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
What?
How did he get in there twice? Once to croak the guy and once to plant the letter.
Correct.
Mrs. Avon had keys. Mr. Avon made duplicates. He figured he'd have use for them sooner or later. Well, he used them all right, and by now he's disposed of them. But
He hasn't disposed of the keymaker.
Meaning what?
Meaning that when a guy swipes his wife's keys to make duplicates, he doesn't go far. So you can demonstrate to Mr. Avon about the efficiency of cops by producing, and with dispatch, the neighborhood keymaker who did the job, and that will put the final finger on Mr. Charles Avon.
No, I didn't.
Mr. Avon.
That does it. Charles Avon goes white and topples, and when he gets up, the manacles are around his wrist and he's babbling his brains out. Lawyer or no lawyer, this time he's going to get locked away for good.
Nice work. Grade A job, Petey. Congratulations.
Well, now. Appreciation from a detective lieutenant to a private eye, that's sweet music indeed. But you start breaking out of there because you're heading for Frankie Toker's place. Appreciation from Detective Lieutenant Parker, good enough. But appreciation from Miss Frankie Toker, well, no.
And there you've had Crime and Peter Chambers. Dane Clark was starred as Peter Chambers. Crime and Peter Chambers transcribed was created and written by Henry Kane. Bill Zuckert was heard as Lieutenant Parker, with Leslie Woods, Edgar Staley, and Lawson Zerbe. It was directed by Fred Way. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same station, for Dane Clark in Crime and Peter Chambers. Hear the Oppenheimer story on Heart of the News, tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.